In 1960, I moved to Dallas, Texas. One Sunday, I was reading an article in the Dallas Morning News. It told of this new thing that was going to happen. It said the time would come we would not use paper money. We would use plastic to pay for items. That was 1960. Before that, there were only a few credit cards. I had heard of them, but I didn't understand how it worked. As we know, after they were introduced, it exploded. And today, most people use credit cards. I use credit cards to pay for gas, food, but I don't charge anything unless I know I can pay for it at the end of the month when I'm billed. One credit card company, MasterCard, that was my first credit card company, they asked me to consolidate all my debt with them. And when they found I didn't have any debt, they didn't want me for a customer. So I applied to Visa and got a credit card from them and have had it ever since then. God showed me to get out of debt and stay out of debt. And that was done before I was called into the ministry. So by the time I went into the ministry in 1980 on radio, I had no debt. We paid everything each month. 40-plus years later, as I'm 86 years old, I don't owe anything to anyone. I use a credit card, but it is paid at the end of the month when they send me the bill. I have no mortgage. I have no car payment. I don't buy a car unless I have the money to pay for the car. I don't build a house unless I have the money to pay for the house. God told me get out of debt and stay out of debt. And I believed it was God who spoke it, and I took it very seriously. In the 1980s, a woman who worked for me in the ministry office said, "We can buy you a new car right now and pay it off, make payments on it." And I said, "God has told me to get out of debt and stay out of debt, and I'm not going to do that." Instead of getting a mortgage for a house, to buy a house, which is wise in the ways of the world, and having the equity rather than paying rent, which is wise in the eyes of the world, I didn't do that. I just stayed in my apartment, which cost $180 a month. I really took no thought for housing. It was easy to pay the money for the rent. I think my dad wanted me to buy a house, telling me that then I'd have the equity instead of losing the money on rent. And I know that's wise in the eyes of men, but when you have a word from God that you're living by, you must not change it. So I told him, no, I had a word that I believed to be from God, which was, get out of debt, stay out of debt. In 1984, I decided to move to the city where my mother lived and help her. I could live anywhere that I wanted to live and still do the ministry work. It made no difference where I lived. My dad had died, and she really needed some help. I lived in Dallas at that time. We owned a small trailer park. It had 4 units that could be parked on the lot that we owned. My mother lived in a trailer. I had never liked trailers. They didn't feel stable when you walked on the floor, and I just didn't like the feeling I had. But I went to look at trailers. I could easily pay cash for a house trailer to put on the lot. I think they would have cost about $6,000 at that time, and I had the cash to pay for the trailer. So I went to look at trailers, but I just didn't like it. And God had taught me, if you're troubled about something, just don't do it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went to visit my mother during that time. I met a man who knew a contractor, and he got the contractor to come over and visit with me. And he said, well, I think I could build 2 apartments for you on this lot. You can move the trailers out, and I could build 2 apartments, and they would cost $45,000 each. I had forgotten that when my dad died, he left us $50,000. My mother said, well, what do you want to do with this money? And I said, I don't care what you do with it. I don't need any money right now, and I really don't care what you do with the money. She put it into a CD at the bank. I had forgotten that I had that cash to work with. In the ministry offerings, we had accumulated more than $50,000 at that time. We had no debt. So that was the money to build the 2 apartments. So I built 2 apartments. At first, my secretary lived in one and I lived in the other. My mother's trailer was in between the apartments. Then my secretary left and returned to Dallas. And my mother moved into the apartment, and my contractor bought the trailer house for his son to live in. I was not happy living at that location. It was very noisy. During that period of time, I looked around the city and found an 18-hole golf course where they were building houses to sell for people to live on the golf course. It was quiet. It suited me very much. I could buy a lot for $13,700 on the golf course. So I bought the lot. I knew it would go up in value, and I could sell it later if I wasn't able to build a house there. I lived in the apartments for 5 years and accumulated money. And at the end of 5 years, I felt I could sell the 2 apartments and pay cash to have a house built on the lot, which I now owed. The builder said he could build a house for $100,000. And I was planning just to move my mother into the house with me. The first apartment sold for $50,000, but the other apartment didn't sell. So I rented it. for $400 a month, which was very reasonable for that size apartment and two bedrooms at that time. I didn't spend any of the rental money on anything. I just let it accumulate. I built a house on the golf course and moved into it in the year 1990. We lived there 10 years. When my mother died, I put the house up for sale. A thing happened just before she died. I was at the grocery store, and a woman who was head of RE/MAX Realty said, "Boy, I really wish I had some more retail property, because I could sell anything for a big price if I could get the property." Because she said, houses are selling like hotcakes. It used to be in Clovis that if you built a house that was $100,000, you had to plan to live in it the rest of your life because it wouldn't sell at that price. And now I could sell every house I could get. I thought, oh, I wish I could sell our house. But I knew I just couldn't move my mother out of the city. My mother died during that period of time. I put the house up for sale immediately. It sold for $227,000, $100,000 more than I paid to build it. I took that money to Lubbock, Texas, and bought a lot in Lubbock and arranged for a contractor to build me a house in Lubbock, where I lived for the next 19 years. By that time, I'm 81 years old. God has begun to put in my heart that I couldn't no longer live by myself. I was going to have to live with someone. It was just a subtle thought. I continued to live alone. But then I fell and broke a hip and broke my left wrist and had to have surgery. As they were rolling me on a gurney past the front door of my house in Lubbock, I heard these words from the Holy Spirit: "You'll never see this house again." So I knew God was moving me. I had no idea where. I put the house up for sale while I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 2.5 months. During that time, I had a few thoughts about maybe I'll move to Colorado. Pam Padgett lived in Colorado. She worked for the ministry, doing all the technical work for the books and the podcast. And at least I would be where somebody lived that I knew, and I knew she would help me if I needed help. Well, it turned out differently from that. While I was in the hospital during those 2.5 months, God put it into both of our hearts, Pam's heart and my heart, without us discussing it, He put it into our hearts for me to move into a downstairs bedroom she was adding to her house in Colorado Springs. She lived upstairs. I wasn't able to walk without a walker or cane, so I couldn't live upstairs. But she had remodeled her house, not knowing I was moving in there. It was all done before God revealed it to us. I liked the idea very much of moving to Colorado Springs. I liked the cooler climate. I liked the idea of living with Pam because she had a concept of faith in God like I have. She would take the problem to God and let Him show her what to do. We were the same in our thinking about the subject of God and the Holy Spirit and faith. So I very much liked the idea of moving there. I did move there on February 24th, 2019. The house in Texas was up for sale, but it didn't sell. I prayed many times that the house would sell. In 2020, amazingly, during the coronavirus, the house sold. I didn't get as much money as I had in the house. I sold it for $300,000. I had more money in that house than I sold it for. But I thought that would be enough for me. So I sold it and put the money in the bank in Colorado Springs. I was so happy not to have property. At 81 years old, I'd already had a big house in Texas. I knew what the responsibilities were. I was delighted not to have any property. And I insisted on paying for expenses. As soon as the house sold, well, I paid her $500 a month until the house sold, and then I began paying her $1,000 a month. She didn't want to take any of the money, but I insisted that I had to pay it to live there, that I would not live there without paying that money. And she could take the money and use it on the house for upkeep and things like that, or whatever she wanted to use it for. I could easily pay the $1,000 a month. This put me in a position of having cash in the bank and no expenses and no debt. I was still debt-free. So it was a very stable financial situation for me. Some people just can't ever seem to get enough. And they live by the way of the world, which is that you buy a piece of property and you have to sell it for a profit. I did not live that way. I felt I had plenty of money, and I was delighted for the people who bought the house in Texas to benefit as they were able from the price of the house. And it was enough money for me. I didn't need any money. You can't live by the thinking of the world. You'll get in trouble. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, to their thinking, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, basically to the Word of God. I feel so sorry today for people who want big houses and are in that stage of life. There's so much responsibility. And in their cases, they probably have to take out a mortgage. And even though they have the hope of getting the money back, they're not assured that. God knows the future. He knows what's ahead for us. I've had several times since that time that God has approved my purchasing two cars. One was unsatisfactory. I made the wrong selection. And I had so much pain with broken bones that I just couldn't ride in the car. God showed me what to change to. And it was more expensive, and I spent a good deal of money on the car. And God gave me two scriptures to show me that I was approved to do this, that I wouldn't need that money in the future. By this time, I'm 86. He gave me two scriptures. One of them was Psalm 84, I believe, and it's, Lord God is a sun and shield. He will keep you safe, and he will shield you from the things you shouldn't be doing. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That was one scripture he gave me showing his approval of the purchase of the expensive car. The other scripture was in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, and I think that rich means have no debt and have savings. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I felt this scripture approved my spending money on the car at 86 years old. It's not all of my money. It's about a third of what I have from the sale of the house. I have no debt. I have no expenses except the $1,000 a month, which I pay Pam to live in this house. I have no debt. I have no expenses. And I felt like God was showing me I wouldn't actually need that money in the future. So by faith, everything has to be done by hearing the word, believing it's God, and faith. Those scriptures gave me the faith to spend a portion of the money from the sale of the house on the car. I like to have the approval of God before I do anything. Very often, God will give me his approval by having a scripture brought to my mind. So I still live out of debt. I don't owe anything. I don't buy things I can't afford. I don't pay things off through the years because I don't have any debt. I don't buy it unless I can pay cash. It's a wonderful way of life. I believe Deuteronomy 28 really shows the power that we have in owing no one anything. In Deuteronomy 28, I believe these promises of God apply to us today. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee, in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. It was revealed to me not long ago on that scripture. They aren't going to be telling you dirty jokes. They see that you belong to God, and they won't do that. They won't be bringing things to you that they would take to their buddies in the world. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the works of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. When you borrow money, you often follow after money in order to pay that debt. And instead of following God, sometimes you're tempted to follow money. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. I don't believe you can be the head and be in debt. It's the tail wagging you. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So getting out of debt and staying out of debt has been very important to me for the past 40 plus years. And it was something God told me early after I was born again. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. Thank you for allowing me to share this with you today.